Good afternoon. What a lovely October day, eh? So nice to see you all here. You know, we co-create this. We do this together. It's our shared energy that makes this happen. So I'm grateful for everyone being here. The title of the talk today is, This is My Body. There's a story I've used it in here before about a Zen master and his student. And the student says, you know, Master, what is the point of all this practice? What is the point of this meditative sitting? What's the point of this walking meditation, this eating in this stylized way, this meditative way, this work meditation? What's the point of all this practice? And the master says, an appropriate response. That's the point of this practice. When life offers us whatever it offers us in a particular moment, the point of our practice is an appropriate response. I was talking with a college professor, and she said that on Monday morning before her poetry class, she didn't know what an appropriate response would be, how to begin that class. And she said, you know, I think, and she's introduced mindfulness, interestingly, into the study of her students' poetry. And she said, I think I'd like for us just to be quiet together for a while. And then at some point we'll turn to the poetry. And she said she didn't know really whether it had helped her students, but that it had helped her. What's an appropriate response to Las Vegas? I don't have any words as an appropriate response. I've read some commentary. I've not found any of it particularly helpful. I was talking with someone earlier today, and he said, you know, this year has been so unremitting. It's the election and the aftermath of the election and natural disaster, hurricanes. It's my kayaking partner in Alaska, Kurt Holting, says, the climate's not changing, we're changing the climate. He says, we know this intellectually at one level, but he said, until we know it in our bodies, we're unlikely to really do anything about it. And so there, you know, been the hurricanes, and now Las Vegas. It's just been so unremitting this year. Fifty-nine bodies, 500 bodies, 59 persons, 500 persons, and countless family members and friends and communities. Not long ago, I used Stanley Kunitz's poem, poet laureate of the United States, The Layers, and he says, how shall the heart accustom itself to its feast of losses? Accustom is a big word. Is there a way in which we're becoming horribly accustomed to these kinds of things? Last week I was at my home meditation center, Spirit Rock, in Marin County, California. And I got there early for the retreat because I wanted some time to walk the land. And these are coastal mountains just edging down to the Pacific. And it was so good to be back on that land again. I found myself, I wondered what it would be like. It's been 3 years since I've been back there. The 3 years since my wife Kathy died. And I found myself, as I got higher up into the hills, just stopping and weeping and weeping and weeping with gratitude at the teachers for the teachers and the teaching that Kathy and I received there. I have so many sweet memories of this place. To use the Latin phrase, axis mundi, it's like the axis of the world for me. It's like the center of the world. And when I go there, I feel deeply centered in contact with my teachers and their teaching. This was not a residential retreat. It was just a Friday, Saturday, Sunday retreat. And so there was a residential retreat going on, and so I wasn't able to stay at Spirit Rock. And so I stayed in a cabin about 30 minutes away over at the Point Reyes National Seashore, which is that's a real vacation destination. If you haven't been there, it's a wonderful, wonderful place to hike and be right there at the Pacific. And, you know, it's my habit early in the morning when I get up to exercise and then to celebrate communion. And so I was doing this, you know, as my wont before going over to Spirit Rock to the retreat. And you know, there were just these familiar words. When Jesus was at supper with his friends, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, this is my body. And so when I got there to Spirit Rock and I was walking the land, I thought, this is my body. This earth is my body. This body, these bodies. This is my body. These bodies in Las Vegas. These are my bodies. This blue-green planet. This is my body. Last week I talked about finding your teacher. And I went to study this weekend with Philip Moffat, who is, along with Thich Nhat Hanh, definitely one of my teachers. You know, the way that Kathy and I found Philip was through Yoga Journal. We were just kind of, you know, newbie, rookie yoga students, and we were reading Yoga Journal, and there was this fabulous column every month called Dharma Wisdom, and it was by this guy named Philip Moffat. And we said, wow, this guy is really great. And then we saw he was teaching a retreat with Tara Brach, and we said, let's go to this retreat. And when we got to be in Philip's presence, we thought, yeah, we want to go study some more with him. And so he said, you know, y'all really ought to think about coming out to Spirit Rock Meditation Center where I teach. And we'd never really thought about going out to Spirit Rock. And so we did it, and we really found that together for us, this was our spiritual home. After Kathy died, I took some of her ashes out there, and Philip and I did a ceremony. And Philip has an exquisite sense of ritual. And so we climbed up into the hills, and there's this tree which has a lovely little teak bench beside the tree. And we circumambulated the tree three times, and we spread Kathy's ashes there. And Philip said some words and recited some poetry from his heart that was appropriate to the occasion. And so, of course, during my time there, I went back to that teak bench and to that tree and sat there several times. It was so sweet to be back there. This is my body. Right here. Right here in this place. There's a brand new community meditation hall there at Spirit Rock. And it is, well, if you can imagine this space without the pews and without the balcony, and maybe a little bit wider, and the Buddha behind me instead of a cross, and a female bodhisattva there, so it's both male and female teachers. That would give you a little bit of the feeling of the place. It's just a gorgeous space in which to practice. And outside the meditation hall, there are banners on which are written the names of people who have given to make this place possible. And Kathy's name is on one of those banners because Jerry Smith gave a gift in her memory. Kathy, I, and Karen, and Jimmy all gave to make this place possible. Thousands of people made this place possible. Just like thousands of people made this place possible. We've been gifted with so many things. So I wanted to tell you about Philip's teaching and to bring a sliver of it, a fragment of it to you today. The teaching was entitled The Nine Bodies of Liberation. And you could think of these bodies as essentially concentric circles. And so there are nine separate circles, but they're all held in this larger totality of one large circle, this body that we have. There are three groups of three. There's the what in the yoga tradition is called the gross level, or what we would call the manifest level. And then there's the subtle level. These are subtle energetic levels. And then what's called the cosmic level. And so just to name these, I'm not going to go into all three, but just to file them by title, there's the physical body, this body you're sitting in. There's the vital body, the energetic body, and the emotional body. That's the manifest level. And then in this subtle level, there's the etheric body and the astral body and the intuitional body. And then finally, at the causal level, there is the divine body and the cosmic body. And what's the one? The spiritual body. Those three bodies. But I want to talk about these first four because they're really relevant to our practice. And I think they're really relevant to an appropriate response to what's going on with the unremittingness of our lives right now. At this particular time in our history, it won't always be this unremitting. Because of the truth of impermanence, everything changes. That's the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Everything changes. It won't always be this unremitting, but it sure is right now. So, the physical body, this body in which you're sitting, it has some weight, doesn't it? It has mass. You know, like E equals MC squared, the M is for mass. You can feel the weight of your body, the weight of your bones, sitting here on the cushion, in the pew, in the chair. This is what in the yogic tradition is called the earth element. That's why we say when we bury people, we say earth to earth, ashes to ashes. Literally is earth. We're fed by the earth, we're nourished by the earth, we're breathed by the earth. The earth itself is a breathing organism, and we're part of it. We're one of those concentric circles in the larger circle. And so the first instruction is to let the earth rest upon the earth. Just feel your earth element, the weight of your body, resting just as you are sitting in the pew. Just resting. Inviting resting. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The first invitation is to rest in this body. Thomas Merton says that if he could give himself one piece of spiritual advice, it would be to slow down. So here in this place, we can slow down and rest in our bodies. So there's the relative stillness and stability of the body, and then there's the movement of the wind element of the breath that's nourishing us, it's keeping us alive. It's the vital element. Or it nourishes the vital element. That's better said. So the body and the breath are the physical element. And then there's the vital element. And the way to tune into the vital element is actually feel into your hands right now. Just let your attention go into your hands. And as the yoga teachers say, feel your hands from the inside, from the bones outwards. And notice that as you drop your attention into your hands, there are these little sparkles, these little tingles of sensation. Feel those? That's prana. That's vital energy. That's what keeps us alive. Right? When the body dies, the body is still there. But what happens is that the prana, the vital energy, has left. I will never forget, and I hope this is okay for me to share this, Karen. I will never forget when Jimmy Pilkerton died. His daughter, Allie, who has Downs, was right by his breath, his body. And when he breathed his last breath, Allie looked over at him and she shook her head. It was like she knew at a very deep level that the vital energy was gone. It was one of the most powerful teachings I have ever been around. So there's the physical body, and then there's this vital body. And the way that we tune into it is this, the Chinese would call this qi, right? Qi is that in which we live and move and have our being. As air is to birds, as water is to fish, so qi is to all life. We feel this qi when we tune into these tingles and sparkles. The hands are huge in the brain. Both the mouth and the hands occupy a huge amount of neural space. And that's why when you have a toothache, that's why it hurts so much. That's why when you slam your hand, that's why it hurts so much. So this is a really good place to feel this vital energy. But if you really start to tune in, it's everywhere. It's in your whole body. When you are upset emotionally, if you can ground yourself in your physical body, take your attention to your physical body and to this vital energy, it helps reground you. Remember that. If you don't remember anything else from the talk, remember this. Okay? So there's the physical energy, the physical body, and the vital body. And then there's the emotional body. And that's just our emotions, but particularly the way they manifest in our bodies. There is some felt sense for every emotion that we have. You know, when the phone was ringing at the beginning of meditation tonight, that's my ringtone, okay? So I was thinking, oh, Jesus, is that my phone over there? Not again. So at the end of what I said while y'all had your eyes closed, I snuck over there, right? This is true confessions. I snuck over there to see if it was my phone, and thank you, Jesus, it was not. But what happened in my emotional body was a moment of, you know? You know that moment? And what we do is, rather than going on and on in our minds about the story, is with the emotional body, we just come into the felt sense. That's Philip Moffitt's big word, and I think it's his, as a yoga teacher, his big contribution to the Theravada and Insight Meditation world. Is like, what we're doing with these nine bodies is we're paying attention to the felt sense of these different subtle layers of consciousness. So, when things happen to us emotionally, rather than going on and on about X or Y or Z, we can say, what's the felt sense of this? If the felt sense is overwhelming, we're not well advised to hang out in that felt sense of the body. It is better for us at that point to go back to grounding in the physical body and in the vital body. And we can learn to shift back and forth between the felt sense in the emotional body and the felt sense in the physical body and the vital body. Okay. All this is prelude to the fourth body, which is the one I really want to talk about. And what blew me away, I didn't have this language for it, but what blew me away when I sat down and began to listen to what Philip was teaching is like, oh, this is what I have been trying to talk about here for the last year. So I want to tell you about the etheric body. The etheric body, these next three bodies are what are called subtle bodies. They're subtle layers of consciousness. And I want to tell you, this is very available to you. It may be subtle, but it's not hard. You may be able to catch it today, or you may not. But if you're patient and you're persistent, you will catch this. And if you catch this, it will make a big difference in your life. So let's go back to the sensations in the hands, that sense of the vitality in the body, those little sparkles, those little tingles in your hands right now. Right? You can tune into those. You can feel those. There's the felt sense of your hands right now. If it helps you to close your eyes to tune in, do that. So we're moving from the energy of the breath. It's the breath that fuels this vital energy, this prana. And now we're moving to what knows this prana. What knows these tingles, these sparkles in your hands right now? In asking this question, we're turning our attention to the awareness of awareness. Something's aware of these sensations in your hands. What is this that's aware? Find the felt sense of that in your body. The wind element is subtle. The pranic element is subtler still. Even more subtle is this subtle element of the etheric body. So I want you to open your eyes if they're closed. This subtle element is luminous consciousness. And the Tibetans are all about this. They say that this awareness is, it's intrinsically empty. It just receives anything. It's like the space in this bowl. It's full of possibility. Anything can go in here, but it's intrinsically empty. This luminous conscious is naturally radiant. It lights up everything. Lights it up. It's the way we know anything. And the Tibetans say it's ceaselessly responsive. And what they mean by that is that it is unendingly compassionate. It holds the unremittingness of our lives right now at this particular time in our history with unending, ceaseless, bottomless compassion. So where Philip gets this teaching is from his yoga teacher, his Hindu Indian teacher, Balyogi. And Balyogi uses this analogy, and I think it really works. He uses the analogy of a light bulb. We can't see these lights, but we know they're up there. So the light bulb, you see those lights back there? The light bulb is illuminated, right? The brain is like a light bulb. It's illuminated. It's an organ that's illuminated. What illuminates the light bulb is electricity itself. It's the illumination, or even better, the illuminating, because those electrons are just flowing, right? It's consciousness, it's awareness, it's luminous consciousness that's lighting up the brain and that's lighting up everything that's happening with us moment to moment to moment. You've heard me say this any number of times this year. But here's the new piece that I got from Philip that I had not gotten before. And he got it from his teacher, Balyogi. And Philip, talk about patient and persistent. He has been going over and studying with Balyogi several times a year for 20 years. And he said, because of the Hindu way of teaching, he said, I've never been so lost for so long, so many times with anything that I've ever tried to learn. And Philip's kind of genius quality. I mean, he's a really bright guy. But he said, because of the Hindu method of teaching, it's not a linear method of teaching, because it's real, just kind of free association. He said, Balyogi was all over the map. And it was very hard for him to catch this teaching. But what he got from Balyogi was this sense that there are these things that are illuminated. The light in here right now is... our bodies are among the illuminated. You can see my body because there's still some sun out there and because of these lights. Our bodies are illuminated. But what's illuminating it is both the electricity and the sun, the electrons in both. But it's luminous consciousness. That's how we know anything. Here's the piece that Philip got from Balyogi and that I got from Philip and that I'm passing along to you today. These first three bodies, the emotional body and the vital body and the physical body, these first three bodies, this is where we have our suffering. Our physical bodies hurt, don't they, when they're wounded? And our emotional bodies hurt, don't they, when they're wounded? The womb, W-O-M-B, the womb of healing for these three bodies that can be wounded is in the etheric body. And it's interesting to me, I can't remember the Hebrew word right now, but the Hebrew word for compassion is womb-like. Sophia, do you know this? Do you know the Arabic word for this? For compassion, you may know it. Yeah. So this womb-like etheric body is what holds our suffering. It's what holds our hurts. And when you can make this rotation in consciousness, about which I've been teaching for this last year, and you can look back at that which knows, when you can look at the knowing capacity of the mind, this luminous consciousness, when you drop your physical pain, your emotional suffering into that place, it's different. It doesn't make it go away. This will not make Las Vegas go away. But it is held in a different way. It is brought into, I'll use this language, it may not be your language, it is brought into the womb of divine compassion. Say it again. Rachma. Yeah, of course. I now remember the Hebrew word. It's Rachman. Rachma, Rachman. So when we are aware of our own, when we are aware of our friends, our families, the world's suffering, and we feel it, don't we, as a felt sense in our bodies, because we're incarnate spirits. We are spiritual beings having an incarnational experience. When we feel it in our bodies, it can be overwhelming. Too much to bear. Unbearable, we say. When we take the felt sense of the unbearableness of our lives into this etheric lightness, and I can only... You know, like none of us can do this for each other. You have to do it for yourself. But I do think that there is an energetic field, there is an energetic transmission that happens when we are together in this space. It doesn't happen just here. It may happen in your synagogue, your temple, your church. It may happen for you in nature. It may happen for you at the symphony, at the concert. Wherever it happens for you, but you know it when it happens. And you're in this, Buddhists would call it big mind, big heart. We're in this larger space. That's when we know, oh, this is my body. My physical body, my vital body, my emotional body is held in this larger body. This is my body, and we're all connected in this etheric body. Now, there are more levels to this. There are 5 more levels that I'm not even going to try to talk about today. But Philip said to me, we had a couple-hour conversation at the end of the retreat, and he said, I want you to go back and talk about this. So I said, okay, I'll try. So I said to Philip, I want you to come to Nashville and teach this. So I want to come back to communion and to Jesus' Last Supper. So this is a very high teaching. This is a very high teaching when he takes the bread, and ordinary bread, you know, staple of their diet, and he gives them this bread and he says, take this, eat this. This is my body. This is a new teaching, right? He hadn't said this before. This is my body. And of course he takes the cup of wine and he says the blessing and he says, this is my blood. When Rami Shapiro, my rabbi friend, and I do these One River Wisdom retreats, we always do this this cosmic mass, this celebration of communion. And the way the language for this goes is after I say the the words in English and Rami says them in Hebrew, then I say in English, the body of Jesus is our body, all bodies, broken on the cross of forgetting, resurrected in wholeness when we remember. Remember, recognize, realize who you are. That's the point of the ritual. Recognize, remember, realize who you really are. All these different layers of consciousness that we share with everyone else too. I said after the first time that Rami and I did this service together, I mean, this is so off the reservation. You know, a rabbi and a priest doing a communion service together. You know, I don't think my bishop would like this very much. Right? But for me, it's been the sweetest service that I've ever done. Jesus, the Jewish rabbi, a rabbi and a Christian priest doing this together. I was going to read you something from Adyashanti, but I don't have time to read that to you today. But so I had all this kind of echoing in my head as Philip is teaching us about the nine bodies, and I'm thinking about Jesus, and this is my body, and being out on the land there at Spirit Rock, and this is my body, and there these turkeys that just walk the land there. They hadn't been hunted, and so they're just comfortable on the land. And the turkeys, you know, this is my body. And Point Reyes seashore, you know, this is my body. Every place, this is my body. Now, how is it that we provision the eye to be able to see this? And it just blew me away when on the last day of the retreat, Philip said, "So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that you could drop your eyeballs down into your heart space, and I want you to look out from your hearts." And I thought, damn, Philip, I've been teaching that here for the last year. This is the shortcut into the etheric body. So if everything I've said so far today has just been lost on you, if you thought, what on earth is he talking about? You can remember this. Let your mind drop into your heart. Let your eyes look out right now from your heart center, from your heart space. And see how this changes the way you look at things. It's a big challenge. But watch the news from your heart space. If you take communion, if you do that, take communion from your heart space. It's the resurrected body of Jesus that you're taking. That's what you're taking in. And I know for some of us that won't be, you know, useful or helpful, but I just say that to some of you who that's your practice. There's so much more that could be said about this. Let me see if there's one more thing I want to say. Our physical bodies are such a blessing. You know, to have a body, I mean, there are times when it doesn't feel like the body's a blessing, I know. But to have a body is such a blessing. To be incarnate in this life can be really hard seasons, and you frankly wish you weren't here. But that too is impermanent. And you're glad you have a body. You know what? The body loves to move. The body loves to move. And whether for you it's swimming or bicycling or walking or doing Tai Chi or Qigong or, you know, your body loves to move. There is this vital energy that's moving through your body. Every moment, it's what's keeping us all alive. And when we tune into that, we have a whole different appreciation for the physical body. It's like, oh, this is the spirit. This is prana. And then we have these emotional bodies that help us to connect each other. You know, the sweetness of being connected, the horror of being connected. And it all belongs. We have to have some way to work with it all. And that's why I've given myself to the study of these teachings. Like, you know, we need to know how to metabolize all this energy that's moving through us. There are, as we know, more skillful and less skillful ways to metabolize the energy that's moving through us and through our world. So what's the point of all this practice? An appropriate response. Metabolize what's given us. Respond appropriately. So that's it for a moment. So let's do some compassion practice for all who are victims of gun violence. I know that there are people in this room who know people who have been victims of gun violence, know them personally. And all of us who have been in the neighborhood, the physical neighborhoods or the virtual neighborhoods through the news, we're all victims of gun violence. So notice what it feels like to sit in a body. Feel the weight of your body. This alive body. And feel the vital body, the energy of prana, the tingles, the sparkles in your hands. And then actually let yourself feel the emotional body around this epidemic of gun violence that characterizes our country. And just see what's there. See what the felt sense of this emotional body is. And if you feel overwhelmed, step back into your physical body. May our bodies, the bodies of those we know and love be filled with loving kindness and held in loving kindness. May they be filled with compassion and held with compassion. May we be safe. And may we all know the beauty of our own true nature. So we bring to mind the victims of violence in our communities, on our streets, in our neighborhoods, in this city, in all cities. We bring to mind and those in Las Vegas. and their families and their friends. All those who care for them, all those who pray for them. May they be filled with loving kindness and held in loving kindness. May they be filled with compassion and held in compassion. May they be safe. May they know the beauty of their own true nature. So we send these wishes out to all beings without exception. May all beings be filled with loving kindness and held in loving kindness. Filled with compassion and held with compassion. May all beings be safe. May all beings know the beauty of our true nature and be free. We dedicate the merit of our practice this evening to the welfare of all beings, the arising of compassion, and to the ending of suffering. So a couple of brief announcements. My teaching colleague Paloma Kane and I will be teaching at St. Mary's Suwannee the weekend of October 20 through 22nd. Mindfulness on the Mountain, we're calling it. We'll be doing these practices there. Suwannee is such a beautiful place, especially this time of year. If you have a mind to come to the retreat, if you call or make contact with St. Mary's Suwannee, this weekend, or this week, that will help them in terms of figuring numbers. You can sign up all the way right to the day before the retreat, but if you know you're coming, it would be great to go ahead and sign up. The Mindfulness and Inquiry Group meets at my home on Sundays, 5 p.m., number 10 Peach Blossom Square is my home address. And any other announcements? Thank you for your kind attention, your presence, for your generosity supporting the teachers and the teaching. It's good karma to have this teaching. Good karma. We live in a good time. We need to remember that. Have a great week. See you next week.